The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 89, entitled The Ask Method, we chat with top marketing expert Ryan Levesque. Ryan is the number one national best-selling author of the book Ask, as featured by Inc. magazine as the number one marketing book in 2015. Quick side note, guys, I do have a little bit of a cold in this episode, so you can hear that coming through from time to time in my voice. But other than that, you're going to absolutely love this episode. Ryan drops phenomenal knowledge bombs on how to basically start in any market and figure out exactly what that audience wants and how to sell it to them. So stay tuned, and I know you're going to enjoy this one. Hey guys, one final little message before we dive into this awesome interview with Ryan. This coming Monday, October 17th, I have a really big and exciting announcement to make that I think you guys are really going to love. I don't want to dive into too much details right now, but trust me, this is going to be really exciting and really awesome, and I can't wait to share it with you. So make sure you check out the next podcast this upcoming Monday, October 17th, and stay tuned for this big news. But until then, make sure you listen to this entire interview and enjoy these awesome, awesome tips from Ryan. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is none other than number one national best-selling author of the book Ask and a personal favorite sort of marketing expert of mine, Ryan Levesque. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Justin, it's awesome to be here. I'm totally pumped.
Dude, thanks so much, dude. As I just kind of mentioned, I've been following your stuff for a long time now. I read your number one bestseller, Ask, and sort of fell in love with the whole formula you came up with. So I'm really excited to have you on. And I actually just want to, like, personally follow up with a lot of the questions I had about the formula and kind of the system. But my audience listening who's not quite as familiar with what the Ask formula is, can you just kind of give us the 60-second sort of rundown of what it is and kind of how you came up with it?
Totally. So the Ask method is a marketing methodology that we teach that uses a combination of surveys and quizzes online to figure out exactly what it is that your customers want to buy before they even realize what they want to buy themselves, and to identify the different wants, needs, and pain points that exist in your market. And then the critical point is to identify the different segments, or what we call buckets, that exist in your market, so you can address those different buckets differently.
Cool. And to my understanding, there's three key surveys that you use: the deep dive survey, the micro commitment bucket, and then the pivot survey. Can you just talk about what each one does kind of uniquely?
Yeah, we can touch on this. And so this is something that we could spend the next, you know, 6 hours talking about, or the next 60 seconds. So I'll try to kind of give the high level view of where these surveys fit, how they fit together, and the role that they play. But before we do that, I just want to take a step back to kind of give your audience a sense for the power that exists behind this. And so this ask method is something that we've used in our company to generate over 100,000 email subscribers daily. We do this across 23 different markets, and the markets range from dog training, weight loss, satellite TV, business funding, e-commerce products, digital information products, consulting, the list goes on. And so we do this at a massive scale. We've generated over $100 million in online sales in this process. And now we teach this methodology, and we literally have thousands of students in thousands of different markets executing the same methodology themselves. So there are certain elements to this that people say, but wait, the ask method, is it just as simple as asking what people want and giving it to them? And the answer is no. If you've read our book, if you're familiar with my book, then you know that the subtitle is The Counterintuitive Online Method. And the word counterintuitive is absolutely critical here because there are certain elements that are critical. And that's what we're going to talk about now. So we're going to talk about three of the surveys in the process that play a critical role. So the first survey that you described is something called the Deep Dive Survey. Survey that's designed to discover what it is that your market truly wants and to discover the segments or buckets that exist in your market. It's a survey that you typically conduct once. It has a number of open-ended questions that you're asking, and you're analyzing the results in a very specific way. There are a lot of mistakes that people make when they use surveys in their marketing, and people tend not to be very excited about surveys because it sounds like something that's, you know, it's old, it's tired, it's boring. There are many reasons for that. But the Deep Dive Survey is the survey that serves as a foundation for everything else that you're going to do in your marketing. So that's the first piece of the puzzle. The second is something that we call the Bucket Survey, or what you described, the Micro Commitment Bucket Survey. So there's two pieces to this, Micro Commitment and Bucket. The Bucket Survey is a lead capture survey that you put on your website that's designed to identify what segment or bucket someone falls into so you can communicate to them in a way that's specific based on their situation. The micro commitment part is the fact that in this survey, if you will, you have the opportunity to ask a series of close-ended questions that lead people to a destination. And so instead of just the typical, you know, lead capture, what's your name and email, instead you ask a series of questions that lead up to that step that are small, non-threatening, what we call micro commitments that lead to that final opt-in step. Now, the reason why micro commitments are so powerful and so important is because when you ask for someone's name and email address on your website, it's actually very threatening. And that's the reason why many people only have anywhere from a 5 to 25%, in some cases 30, 40, 50% opt-in rate on your lead capture page. Because at least 50% or more of the people who land there are backing out, right? They don't, they choose not to provide their name and email address. But when you start by asking a series of non-threatening multiple choice questions, you build action-taking momentum. And not only are you able to capture that information, so identify if someone, for example, question number one might be, are you a man or a woman? Question number two might be, what's your age? Question number three might be, depending on your business, if you're in a weight loss industry, for example, it might be, what part of your body are you most looking to improve the way it looks? So you can ask these series of questions before the opt-in step, which are really a series of micro commitments designed to figure out a little bit about this person before you start communicating with them. The third survey that you mentioned is something called the pivot survey. The pivot survey is after you've identified someone's bucket and you've done your absolute best to sell to them based on what you put in front of them on your website, in your funnel, through the emails that you send to them, a certain percentage of these people are still not going to purchase from you, right? The pivot survey is an opportunity to ask a question after you've done your absolute best to find out why is it that they didn't buy and then move them in one of several other directions. So, for example, you might say something like, hey, we put in front of you this opportunity to invest in our weight loss program. You decided that you didn't want to purchase it, and that's fine. So what should we talk about next? What are you interested in learning more about or possibly purchasing next? A, B, or C. And then based on how they answer that survey, that sets off a whole other chain of events that lead people down a different path. You can think of it as a choose your own adventure survey that happens after someone chooses not to purchase from you based on the first thing that you try to sell. So those are the three surveys kind of in a nutshell. I know there's a lot, but that kind of gives a brief overview of what they are and how they work.
Yeah, man. Thanks for going over that for my audience listening. I know a lot of some of them at least are kind of unfamiliar with how it works. So thanks for kind of just, sitting with us and describing them. I know it's a brief kind of 30,000 view oversight of everything, like you mentioned, but I think it gives a solid kind of foundation for where to start. So just kind of going through, because I want to really touch on, I mean, like I mentioned to you earlier, I read the book multiple times, and to be quite honest, it's one of my favorite books, like as far as like business goes. I put it up there with like the 4-Hour Work Week, Launch by Jeff Walker, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Like, I think it's that important for just my personal online business, and I think anyone else kind of listening on how impactful it can be. So,
well, I appreciate that, man. That's great, and it warms my heart to know that you're taking the information and you're running with it. You know, you're hustling and you're putting it to use.
Totally, man. I really appreciate it, dude. And I got it a couple of years ago, and to be quite honest, I kind of got it in a bundle of different books at the time, and it sat around for a while. But when I finally got to it, I fell in love with it, dude, and I couldn't have been more happy with kind of actually reading it and sitting it down and getting through it. It just kind of gives people some sort of idea of just how powerful it is, too. I think Pat Flynn himself sort of redesigned his website based off this, right? And you worked with him a little bit?
Totally, yeah. Pat went through the process, and it transformed his business. And, you know, Pat deserves all the credit because he took the methodology and he ran with it. And, you know, when he ran his deep dive survey, he discovered some things about his market. And Pat is very in tune with what his listeners want and the struggles that they have and the challenges that they run into. And yet when he ran this survey, he still uncovered some surprises. And this is a promise that I make when anyone is skeptical about running a deep dive survey. One of the biggest objections that people have is, I feel like I already know my market, right? And I'll say this, I've yet to work with a business and conduct a deep dive survey where there hasn't been at least one surprise, at least one thing that the person discovers in running the survey that catches them completely off guard and makes them say, whoa, how did I miss that? Or how did I not know that? So Pat took that information, ran with it, and really, it's transformed his business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, man. And I'm sort of in the process of going through the deep dive myself. I tried it a little bit before, and I honestly kind of got a little hung up on it. Maybe we can get into that later, but definitely want to go back and kind of do what Pat did and really just get into who my audience is and focus on that. But for anyone, so assuming someone doesn't have an email list, let's kind of go through each step. Assuming someone doesn't have an email list for the first survey, the deep dive survey, I know you recommend in the book using someone else's list, like borrowing their list. And this kind of brings the question of, like, who do you choose to use their list? Like, what are some of the criteria to look for in, like, a friend or a colleague online of someone you can use their list?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. So when it comes to running your deep dive survey, there are several options that you have. And one of those options, not necessarily the recommended option, but it's one of the options that you have is to partner with someone else who has an email list if you don't have an email list yourself. Now, the way to figure out what type of audience to go after, there are basically three major, potential audiences that you can reach out to when it comes to running your deep dive survey. The first is if you have an existing email list, you can just go to your existing audience, right? Or a Facebook community or any captive audience that you have access to. And the easiest one is an email list. The second category is if you don't have an email list, then you've got really two options. Option number one is to reach out to another a friend, a partner, someone in the space that you're looking to enter who does have an audience. And that's the one that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then the third option is you can actually run advertising directly to a page, a new website or a page on your website in order to gather these deep dive survey responses. And there's a process that we teach around how to do that. So you really have three options. Now, let's talk about options two and three for a moment. So option number one, if you have an existing audience, that makes sense to use if the product that you're intending on creating based on the research you're doing, based on the deep dive survey you're conducting, or the marketing campaign that you're intending on conducting based on the research you're doing through your deep dive survey, it makes sense to use your existing audience if they represent the audience of people that you're targeting, right? So let's give an example. Let's say you have a weight loss business. You help people lose weight. You have an email list of 10,000 people, and you're intending on creating a new weight loss program targeting that same group of people. Well, it makes sense to use that email list. Now, let's just use another example. Let's pretend that you have that same business, 10,000 people on a weight loss, teaching people how to lose weight on a weight loss list, but you're intending on creating a product that helps lower people's blood sugar. Now, on the surface, it might make sense to reach out to your existing list, but there might not be as much overlap as you think in terms of people on that list who want this new thing that you're thinking about creating. So if you're trying to validate whether there is overlap, then it would make sense to run the survey to your existing list. But if you're venturing off into a new direction, then you might want to go one of these other two routes that we're talking about. Okay. So the first one that you mentioned is using someone else's list. Well, what you want to – the metric or the validation point that you want to use is this audience that you're reaching out to. Do they represent your potential buyer, right? So in other words, do they represent the group of people that you are going to sell to when you – create this new product or build this new marketing campaign? And if the answer is yes, then go for it, right? Go after that that list. So, for example, if you're intending on creating this blood sugar management product, then you might go out to list people with diabetes, for example, or people who have actively expressed interest in managing their blood sugar. Now, if you reach out and you can't get someone to agree to run your survey, we can talk about that in just a moment, then you have the third option, which is to run advertising to a page with the intent on gathering this deep dive survey data. Now, the downside to this is that this is going to take longer and it's going to cost a little bit more money, right? Because if you run a survey to a JV partner's email list, let's say they have 10 or 20,000 email subscribers, you're going to get your survey results very quickly, right? Like within 24 to 48 hours, you're going to have all your survey responses done. Fine. Great. If you conversely use cold traffic, like Facebook ads, Google AdWords ads, Bing ads, LinkedIn ads, or any one of the other advertising platforms out there, it's more likely that you're going to get a trickle of responses over a period of days and maybe even weeks, and you're going to have to pay the paid advertising. The major upside, though, and it's a really big one, is that the market, the audience that you target, let's say on Facebook, is going to be the exact same audience that you are eventually going to sell to, right? You run ads to collect data. You're going to run ads to those same demographics, the same audience targeting when it comes to sell whatever it is that you're intending on creating. And so what that means is the accuracy is going to be very strong. So you're going to be getting feedback or survey data from the same people you're eventually going to sell to. And so this is actually how I launched every single business that I went into online, is using this exact approach. So, for example, we have a business in the orchid care niche. It was a niche that before we entered into this space had zero experience, had no connections, no list at all. The only experience I had personally in the orchid care space was that my wife and I bought 4 orchids and we killed them all. Like, that was literally our experience. And so the way we went into that market is I ran Google AdWords ads to a deep dive survey, and we did it in a very specific way to gather information to identify what the pain points were in this market and to discover the buckets, the segments that exist in this space, took that information, created a product around this, spoke to the four different buckets that we discovered in this market differently, and we ended up growing this to $500,000 a year business. And we went from nothing to $25,000 a month in 18 months. We repeated the same exact process in the memory improvement market. So we have a business called Rocket Memory, where we teach people how to improve their memory using memory techniques and through a series of courses that we teach. Again, same thing. Went into a market, no connections, no experience, no website, no audience, no JV partners, nothing. Ran a deep dive survey through Google AdWords traffic and took that business to nothing to six figures, actually faster than we did the Orphe Care business. And so I give those two examples to show you that while that path may cost a little bit more money and may take a little bit longer, it is a proven path that I've used and our students have used in market after market.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you kind of going through that as well. Just two sort of follow-up questions on using someone else's list, and then I want to kind of really break down using ads to do that deep dive survey, because I think that's really important to kind of understand how you do that exactly. But the two questions kind of related to using someone else's list. Are you sending someone to a landing page? Are you sending them right to the survey when you're sending out that first email?
When you're sending it through another person's email list, then you send directly to the survey.
Okay, so easy enough. And then are you sending a series of emails, or is it literally just one, and then you get like your responses, like you said, in 24, 48 hours?
It just depends on the responsiveness of the list and how many surveys that you want to collect. So if you have a someone who has a million people on their list and it's a very responsive list and your goal is to get 500 survey responses, one email will probably do it. Mm-hmm. If you have a list of 5,000 people and you're looking to get 1,000 survey responses, you're probably going to have to send, you know, five or six emails to get those enough responses. And you're going to have to vary up the emails and you're going to have to mix up the angles and talk about, you know, the benefit for why they should complete the survey. You also shouldn't use the word survey in the email at all, which is something I talk about in the training that we do. But there's some nuances to the process that really make all the difference.
It's quiz, right? Instead of survey.
Well, in this case, you wouldn't want to use quiz because that's a misconception that people have when they've been exposed to some of the training that I teach. In this context, it's not really a quiz, right? When you're asking for someone's feedback on something, it's not a quiz isn't the right word to use. Now, it is true that when it comes to your micro commitment bucket survey, the one that you run permanently on your website, that a quiz is one way to frame it that's going to get more people taking it. But at this stage in the deep dive survey, the one that you run once, instead of asking someone to complete a survey, nobody likes taking a survey, right? Use the word survey and immediately you create a negative reaction in people, and sometimes like a visceral negative reaction. We have so many experiences, you know, that we've all had where we get a phone call at the dinner table from, you know, whether it's the insurance company or the auto repair shop asking you to complete a brief customer service survey, right? Or you're on the phone with your cell phone company, your mobile phone company, and you're dealing with some BS in the background. And at the end of the call, they say, hey, would you mind sticking around to complete a brief customer service survey? And immediately a reaction is, no, ain't nobody got time for that, right? So survey is one of these words that we can use it to describe what we're doing as marketers, but we never want to expose our customers. I don't say never, but we generally don't want to expose our customers or prospective customers to that term. Instead, what you want to do at this stage, if you're running an email campaign to complete a deep dive survey, is to ask for people's advice. And the reason for that is if someone asks for your advice, right, I just want you to pay attention internally to your reaction when I say, you know, hey, Justin, can you do me a favor and complete this survey for me? Immediately, it's very self-serving. There's nothing in it for you. The word survey just creates for most people a negative reaction, and you're thinking, you know, why? Instead, imagine if I ask you in a different way. What's your reaction when I say, hey, Justin, can I ask for your advice on something?
Yeah.
Immediately, your ears perk up, right? Mm-hmm. Immediately, you think, yeah, totally. And the reason for that is when you ask for someone's advice, you are elevating their status, right? If I ask for your advice, it's a sign of respect. I'm demonstrating to you that I care enough about your opinion or your perspective that I am valuing your advice. And so it's difficult for someone to refuse that ask. So when you're sending out an email, instead of saying, hey, can you complete the survey, use an email subject line and copy in your email that revolves around, hey, can I ask for your advice on something? Another thing that people love to give you and just spend 3 minutes on Facebook, and you'll know exactly what I mean, is their opinion, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has an opinion, and everybody loves to tell you what that opinion is. And you see this, gosh, on social media. I mean, read the comments on any political post, and it's just opinion after opinion after opinion after opinion. Opinions disguised as facts. Everybody just loves to give you their opinion. So when you ask for this, you're leveraging this element of human psychology, right? You're just kind of hacking into what people already want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that, man. And I'm sure the opinions are flowing today after that debate last night.
Totally. We're recording this on the eve of the day after the first presidential political debate in the election cycle of 2016 in September. And you're right. Spend, just a minute on Facebook, and it's just, posts with like 1,000 comments with, opinion after opinion. So, people, the moral of the story here is when you're running your deep dive survey, don't ask someone to complete your survey. Instead, ask for their advice, ask for their opinion. And then with that, you'll get many more people taking you up on the survey.
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by the Elite Man Mastermind group on Facebook. Are you looking to improve your life in a number of very important ways? Do you want to improve, say, your dating, your health, your fitness, your business, your confidence, your social skills, your style, any one of these areas? If so, the best way to do it right now is to join our Facebook group. The Elite Man Mastermind group is the best way to build a sense of community online. It's so tough nowadays to feel like you're connected to like-minded people. Joining this group solves that problem. We have hundreds of awesome guys, speakers, thought leaders, life coaches, dating coaches, business leaders, health and fitness experts, bloggers, podcasters, and just regular awesome dudes like yourself in this group right now. And they're sharing their incredible insights, advice, tips, strategies, and techniques to mastering all sorts of really important areas of their life. If you're serious about improving your life, go right now to Facebook and type in Elite Man Mastermind. It'll have you added in within just a few hours. It's a very exclusive group, so membership is limited, but right now you can get yourself in just a couple of hours. Type it up right now and join the group. Like I said, it's a closed group, which means it's pretty intimate and not everybody can join, but right now I will add you in. I want to get as many awesome guys like yourself into the group as possible. We have such a great community of leaders, speakers, coaches, influencers, people who can share their insights with you and share their great ideas with each other to build each other up and build incredible relationships with one another and help each other become the best people we can be. Join the group right now, guys. Elite Man Mastermind. We're on Facebook. I know you're on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. Whether you're on your phone or your desktop, go on Facebook right now and join the group. All right, back to the show now.
Ryan, you know what I noticed too is that, and I love this because, like, as I mentioned earlier, Launch is one of my favorite books, but there's a lot of overlap in what you do and what Jeff Walker does, and it's you guys do it in a completely different way, but it's also a lot of the same sort of foundational principles on how to get people to sort of buy into your product, your service, whatever it is, right? And the thing that kind of just reminded me of that right now was framing that in where you want to ask for people's advice, almost like they're coming up with their own solutions, right? And I know Jeff does that too, right? When he's about to launch a product, it's like he asks for their opinion, and he gets that right into or even frames it in such a way that he's like positioning them as setting up or helping him create his next product. And I think it kind of sounds similar to what you're doing with this.
Totally. So you bring up a really great point. It creates a very easy marketing narrative, when you run a survey to get people's feedback on something that you're going to create, right? The narrative goes like this, and it's a story that you can use over and over again. So let's pretend again you are this fictional, you know, weight loss company that's thinking about creating a you know, program on how to manage your blood sugar. And so let's pretend for a moment that you reach out to your existing audience, your existing, you know, list, and you run the survey. Hey, can I ask your advice on something? And the survey, the email goes a little something like this. Hey, I've been getting a lot of feedback lately from our subscribers who are not only looking to lose weight, but they also are looking to better manage their blood sugar. And here's where you come in. I'd love to know, when it comes to managing your blood sugar, what's the single biggest challenge or question that you have that you'd like to see me address in the upcoming content that we put together for you? If you could take a moment to tell me what your single biggest question is, it would mean the world to me, and I'll be able to customize what I put together so it's as helpful to you as possible. Great. So you run that email, and you're going to get a bunch of people who see that email. They're not going to answer it, right, because it's not something that they're interested in. But what you want to pay attention to is the people who do survey, who do fill that out. So you run that survey. You analyze the results in a very specific way. It's something that I talk about. We don't have time to talk about it on this interview, as you know, but we can. But in the book, there's it involves some spreadsheet and math, and it's difficult to explain verbally. It's much more straightforward to kind of see what this looks like. But you analyze the results in a very specific way. And then after you've analyzed the results, then it tells you what it is that the market truly wants. It tells you what the buckets are in your market, so how to address these different groups of people differently. And then it creates this perfect narrative where you go back to that same list and you say this. You say, hey, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, whatever the timeline is, a few weeks ago, I asked for your advice on something. I asked you a question about the challenges you're running into when it comes to managing your blood sugar. And the results from that email were overwhelming. In fact, I had an outpouring of responses from people who not only had questions about managing their blood sugar, but truly wanted help in this process. Which brings me to the reason why I'm writing to you today. You see, after running that, you know, sending out that email, I discovered that this was such a burning issue, such a major challenge that people are running into, that we decided to put together a program that's all about how to solve that problem. And the reason why I'm writing to you today is because I want to give you an opportunity to get into this program, you know, at a massively reduced price. Before we release it to the general public, as a way of saying thanks for taking the time to read that email and to give me your advice on this topic. So what you've done there is you've created this narrative that it makes perfect sense. What most people want in life more than anything else is simply to be heard, to be understood. And when you take the time to hear what someone is going through, what they really need help with, and then demonstrate that you've listened, that you've taken what it is that they've said and you've incorporated it into what you're doing, it's a marketing narrative that you can use over and over and over again for virtually any product, program, or service that you launch in your business.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, man. So Ryan, can you just talk about how many responses you're typically looking for when you do one of these surveys?
Yeah, so when it comes to running a deep dive survey, let's just talk about the deep dive survey for a moment. The micro commitment bucket survey is something that becomes a permanent part of your website. So it's running day in and day out. So you're sending traffic to your website, whether it's organic traffic, if it's social media traffic, social traffic, if it's paid advertising, you're sending to your site and you're collecting these leads, right? Every single day. And, you know, in the orchid business, for example, it's a business that we started back in 2008, and we have our micro commitment bucket survey that we run on that site, and we've literally collected over 100,000 email subscribers over time. It's actually many multiples of that. I think we have over 150,000 active email subscribers in that business. But we started with one. We started with one. And every single day, we have anywhere from 100 to 300, 400 people who complete the micro commitment bucket survey and opt into our email list. And that happens like autopilot, like clockwork day in and day out. So there's no limit to the number of subscribers that you want to have going through your micro commitment bucket survey. But when it comes to your deep dive survey, the one-time survey that you conduct to identify the pain points that exist in the market, to identify the buckets that exist, it's a different story. So the minimum number that I like to aim for before launching a new product or entering a new business is 500 total responses. That's the sweet spot. And the reason for that is in the methodology, you'll discover that you only want to focus on a certain percentage of those responses. In fact, you only want to focus on the top 20%. The top 20% of people who give you the longest, most detailed, most passionate responses, and you actually want to selectively ignore everybody else. Why is this? Well, the soundbite that you want to kind of internalize here is that depth of response is more important than frequency of response. What I mean by that is the deeper, more passionate survey responses are far more valuable for you to listen to than hundreds of responses that people say, manage my blood sugar. How to manage my blood sugar. Tell me about blood sugar. Blood sugar. Those types of responses are invaluable, and they actually do not represent people who are likely to be buyers. Instead, what you want to pay attention to are the few responses that people tell you their life story. They leave you an entire paragraph. They pour their heart out to you. Those are the people that if you create a product that serves their needs, they're very likely to purchase from you. So 500 total responses means that your top 20%, do the math, is 100 people, 100 what we call hyper-responsive survey respondents. Those are the ones that you want to pay attention to. So when you have 500 total responses, it yields 100 hyper-responses. 100 hyper-responses is enough data that you'll more than likely be able to identify what those buckets are and identify the pain points and the natural consumer language that that segment of your market is using.
Mm-hmm. And are those 500, I guess, responses, are those all like completed surveys? Are they partial, some completed, some partial?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. So 500, I would say, you know, you could have some partial responses in there depending on how you structure your survey. So if you have a survey that has just one question, what we call our single most important question, the SMIQ, which I gave an example of just a moment ago when I said, when it comes to managing your blood sugar, what's your single biggest challenge or frustration that you're running into right now? That'd be an example of an SMIQ, single most important question. We call it the SMIQ because it very obviously is the most important question in your entire survey. We use it in a number of different ways. But if you do nothing else but just ask that single question, then of course we would want that question answered. But let's say you have a survey that has 10 questions. And the questions are broken down one question per screen. So you ask one question, the user has to click next to see the next question. Let's say you ask that SMIQ first. It's the first question. And you have people along the way who drop off. Well, in that 500, personally, I would count anybody who at least answered your SMIQ, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So if they drop off at question 3, question 4, question 5, then I still might count them in my total 500. Whether they answer all the questions is going to factor out they make it into that top 100, though, right? Because if someone answers your SMIQ but then they don't answer any of the other questions, they're unlikely, using the scoring model that we teach, they're unlikely to be in that top 100. They're going to be, you know, somewhere closer to the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense, man. And I guess kind of jumping off that, I noticed that you do a two-step opt-in when you're doing like ads, as opposed to giving people like the survey where they see like one survey question at a time, when say you're emailing your list or a friends list. Like, what was the sort of science behind changing that around?
In terms of doing it on cold traffic versus...
Yeah, exactly. Like, I noticed that the process just kind of changed a little bit, where on the cold traffic, it would be a landing page and a two-step opt-in with just one question, and then it takes them to, like, a second page where then they get, like, the full survey right on the screen, as opposed to the...
For sure. So it is a function of the... cost you're going to pay to acquire a deep dive survey response. So the methodology as we teach it now is when you're driving traffic to a page from, let's say, Facebook ads, instead of going Facebook ad to a page with a survey on it, you want to go Facebook ad to a page with a what we call a traditional lead magnet, right? So something that you are offering in exchange for someone's name and email address. And you want to offer something that, based on your what we call pre-deep dive survey research, is something you think that people will want. And there are many different ways to conduct this deep dive survey research. Because one of the biggest questions that people ask is, they say, I get, if I have an email list, how to run my deep dive survey. But if I don't, if I can't run my deep dive survey, how do I build a landing page that is something that people are going to want to click on? It's kind of like this chicken and egg, this catch 22, right? So there are ways to conduct what we call pre-deep dive survey research using platforms like Amazon, using platforms like forums that exist in your market, where you're mining the reviews, you're mining the responses, the threads, to identify what you think the pain points might be in your market. You then take that research, design a landing page based on that information, and you offer a lead magnet, something small, in exchange for a person's name and email address. They give you their name and email address, and then on the thank you page, the page after they opt in, this is where you run your deep dive survey. This is where you ask that single most important question. And the narrative is, let's again use the weight loss example. Let's pretend you have a you're thinking about creating a blood sugar management program, and so you run ads on Facebook. You have no list. You haven't conducted your deep dive survey. So, but you've spent some time on some forums online. You've read the Amazon reviews for books on blood sugar management, and you've kind of gotten a flavor for what it is that you think the market wants. It's your pre-research. So you create a simple little landing page, and you create a lead magnet that might be something like 10 ways to naturally better manage your blood sugar. Enter your name and email to get access to this free report, right? Mm-hmm. So great. It's something that you think that people want, but you're not quite sure. So you do this, and then on the thank you page, after people opt in, you have a screen that reads basically similar to what we've described a moment ago. Hey, it's Justin here, and I'm putting together some information and content around managing your blood sugar, but I want to make sure this content is going to be as useful to you as possible. Would you do me a favor and tell me, when it comes to managing your blood sugar, what's the single biggest challenge you're running into right now? Not only will it mean the world to me, but it'll help me customize the information that you'll be getting from me over the coming days and weeks. And so you have your survey, if you will, on the thank you page after someone opts in. And then that survey could be that one single most important question, or it could be a number of questions that you ask along the way. And so when it comes to running cold traffic, that's the recommended path. The reason for that is running traffic straight to a survey is going to be very expensive. It's going to be very costly, and you're not going to get as many survey responses as when you do it the way I just outlined.
Okay, so kind of just something you time tested and sort of proven that this was a more effective way to do it.
Yeah, and it comes down to, you need to establish a relationship with someone before you can really, put a survey in front of them. So when you're using your existing email list or a partner or a friend's email list, there's already a relationship established, right? You've established a value in that relationship. When someone lands on your website for the first time, having no idea who you are, never meeting you in the first ever, you need to make an attempt to offer some value up front. And the lead magnet, based on your preliminary pre-deep dive research, is a way to do that.
Gotcha. Totally makes sense, dude. What's a good conversion rate to look for off of, you're typically talking about Facebook ads here, right, when you're doing ads?
You can use Facebook ads, you can use Google AdWords, you can use Bing. It really depends on your market. It really comes down to where your audience is located. So in a business like the Orchid Care business, we actually have better luck on Google AdWords, because there are more people on AdWords who are looking for help caring for their orchids than are, on Facebook looking for help with that same thing. In many markets, Facebook is a better advertising platform. Generally speaking, it's going to be one of those two, Google AdWords or Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. And as far as the conversion rate, it really varies all over the map, right? The better question to ask is, how much does it cost you to acquire a lead, and how much does it cost you to acquire a deep dive survey response? Because it's likely that you'll be able to convert a certain percentage of your leads in this market. So, for example, let's say if you you do this two-step process that I just outlined, and on your landing page you have a lead magnet that you've created, and let's say you only have a 10% opt-in rate on your lead magnet, which is, you know, on the low side. But again, the point of this lead magnet landing page is using your best guess understanding of what the market wants to put something together, right? So you haven't yet run your deep dive survey. So we don't lose faith over the fact that 10% is your opt-in rate. What's more important in this case is what percentage of those people fill out your deep dive survey response. If you have 10% that fill out your landing page and only 1% of that 10% filling out your deep dive survey on the thank you page, then you probably have a problem. Right. It either means that this is not a market to go into. It's one that people's pain points are already being met. It's one that isn't very passionate about the topic that you're talking about or that you're intending on building a product around. So that would be, you know, one extreme example. Another extreme example would be, let's say you do 10% landing page opt-in rate, which isn't terribly great, but you get like 95% of your people to fill out your deep dive survey. Well, awesome. What that tells us is that while you've missed the mark a bit on your landing page, you've instead hit a vein, if you will, in the market that is passionate. And then you can take the data, the feedback that you get from the deep dive survey, and then refine your landing page, make the tweaks necessary to drive your email opt-in rate up, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're playing a doctor, right? And you're trying to diagnose. Whenever you are building a marketing funnel, there's never a simple answer of, you should get a 25% opt-in rate or 75% opt-in rate. If you have a 25% opt-in rate and your leads cost you $2 a lead, but you sell a $10,000 product and you can convert, 10% of your leads to buy that $10,000 product, then you're doing awesome. You're doing excellent, right? Let's say you have a 75% email, opt-in rate, and you can convert 10% of those leads, but you sell a 99-cent app on iTunes. Well, then, that might be an unprofitable business. I'm not doing the full math through the whole thing. So there are several different factors at play that help determine what numbers you should be aiming for. So the question you want to be asking yourself is, okay, you want to have in mind roughly what is it that you think you might be selling, right? So you're creating this deep dive, you're running this deep dive survey to better understand your market, but you want to be thinking about what is it that you think you're going to be selling this group of people. And the way to figure that out is to look at what competitors are already doing, right? If you're, creating a blood sugar management program in our, fictitious example that we've come up with, and there are 10 of these programs in the marketplace, and every single one either sells for, $49 or $99, great. That gives you your range. You're going to be selling most likely a product in that range. It's unlikely that you're going to be selling a product for $500. So we can start making some assumptions, right? We can say, okay, if we sell a $49 product and it's costing us $2 to acquire a lead, what percent of those leads do we need to convert into buyers in order to at least break even on our advertising spend? And you do the math problem. And if the number is crazy high, if it's, we got to convert 80% of our email subscribers, it ain't going to work. If the number is more reasonable, we're going to convert, we got to convert 5% of our email subscribers, maybe you've got a chance, right? So you really want to do the math kind of like that and figure out if after you've started running traffic, after you started generating deep dive survey responses and building your list. Can you make that business model work? Is it possible to make it profitable? Mm-hmm.
And I guess a sort of final question on this before we get to the next step. I know we got to kind of pick it up a bit, but the final question is, so what are you then doing with these people who say you get their email opt-in and where are you taking them after that? Like, are you putting them through some sort of funnel and then taking them to the next kind of step that we're going to talk about in a sec?
Is your question after they've completed that survey and they land on your email list?
Yeah, so if they're when they get on the email list at that point, whether they finish the survey or not, because you're getting that opt-in in the beginning. So
right.
What's the next step? What are you doing with them after that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So it really just depends on your timeline for creating, building, selling the product that you're going to create based on the feedback you get from the market. So if your timeline is months, well, you better have a concerted nurture campaign, and probably you're going to want to sell something to that audience, because if months go by without selling anything before you announce the product, then you're probably going to have a difficult time selling to those survey respondents, right? If it's a matter of weeks, well, you might have a few nurture emails that go out. You might want to have a few teaser emails that go out to kind of tease on what you're building. Hey, getting some amazing feedback from here, and we're about to release something that's going to be really big and really exciting that I think you're going to love. Stay tuned. We're getting close. Having a couple of those types of emails. But really, it just depends on how much, time is going to transpire between when it, what it is that you're going to sell and the time of the survey.
Awesome, man. So jumping to the next step, the micro commitment. What type of software do you use to actually do that? I'm sort of referring to getting people to come onto your page, then taking the survey that pops up, and then that same kind of page sale. Like, what is the software that can do all this kind of stuff? I know you had one, or you're working on one. Is there anything else that people can use, or is it just kind of waiting for the I think it was a survey funnel software you had?
The short answer is yes. Survey funnel software is what you want to be looking for. We periodically make updates to the software, and depending on when you visit the page, there might be the opportunity to sign up and try it right away. And there might be an opportunity to add your name to the wait list for when the next release takes place. But just very briefly, that's what I recommend. There's really nothing on the market that's designed to execute this model from the ground up except for that software. So that would be my number one recommendation.
Mm-hmm. And does that go along with, say, something like Infusionsoft, or is that separate? Would that be totally
separate? Yeah, so Infusionsoft is a email automation software designed to send emails to your audience. And so something like SurveyFunnel software, it's a segmentation software that that gets attached to the front end. So that's something that would run on your website, and then you'd connect that to whatever software you use to send email, whether it's Infusionsoft or AWeber or ConvertKit or whatever, and the SurveyFunnel software passes the information from this micro commitment bucket survey to your ESP, your email service provider. So you're collecting this information on the front end, and it passes it to your email service provider so you can mail it to them.
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense, man. And then just sort of wrapping things up, I mean, we can't really get into sort of the pivot, but we did mention that earlier, and that's a whole process. That's a whole series of, emails and sequencing like that. It's all in the book. So, if you guys want to check that out, definitely I recommend the Ask book. But yeah, just sort of wrapping things up, man, is there any last sort of send-off, takeaway message you'd like to leave our audience, and also a place that our listeners can check out more about you, man?
Totally. So, the big message that I'll leave you with is is something a mentor once told me, and it's something I teach all of our students. And it's, you don't have to get it perfect. You just have to get it going. And what I mean by that is we covered a lot of concepts. I know some of it's difficult to kind of take in when you're just listening to it and you're not kind of seeing examples in action. But honestly, the most important thing is to start. It's to start and take imperfect action. The five most profitable words of my career are as follows. Screw it, just do it. And that would be my single biggest piece of advice, is take what we've talked about today and take action. As far as next steps, a good place to go would be askmethod.com. On that page, you have the opportunity to check out two things. One is totally free, and the other one is a very tiny investment if you want to make an investment in yourself. So the very tiny investment is if you'd like to get a copy of our number one national best-selling book, Ask, you can go to that page, click on a link, and we'll ship you a copy of the book anywhere in the world. All that we ask is you pay a tiny little shipping and handling fee just to cover the postage costs. That's the one that is a, you know, very tiny investment. Then we also have, while you're waiting for your copy of Ask to arrive at your doorstep, then I'd invite you to opt in and sign up to get a free Ask Method digital blueprint. So this is our digital blueprint that walks you through visually with a very well put together mind map explaining all the steps in the Ask Method and how everything fits together. And that gives you that great 30,000 foot view of what we've been talking about. So you have a nice visual to match this conversation. And then the book will go into much more detail, not only around the methodology, it'll also talk a little bit more about my story and how we arrived at the Ask Method and, you know, how it wasn't an overnight success by any stretch of the imagination, and the various iterations we went through to arrive at the methodology today.
Awesome, man. And guys, just listening, I couldn't recommend the book anymore. Like I mentioned earlier, it's one of my favorite sort of business books I've read. I put it up there with the 4-Hour Work Week and Launch and all those other incredible books. So I really recommend checking it out. And Ryan, dude, I'm so excited to have had you on the show, man, and literally just answered a ton of questions that I had personally, man. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I look forward to kind of implementing a lot of your teachings into my business in, you know, the really short kind of near future. So thanks again, man, for coming on. And take care, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Totally. Thanks, Justin, for the opportunity, and looking forward to it.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man Podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.